Welcome into the DRF College Sports Podcast. My name's Jack Fitzpatrick. I'm joined with Bennett Conlin. It's the holiday season. The New Year's Six Bowls are coming up. That's what we're diving into this entire podcast. Maybe a couple others, maybe like Tennessee-Purdue. I don't know why Bennett would ever want to talk Tennessee-Purdue. Maybe because that's all he writes about. But how's your holiday season going, and how are you doing on this fine Wednesday?
It's been good. You know, just battling through the bowl game cancellations. I was really excited about UVA SMU, the high total. I thought they'd send Bronco out with a win. Instead, they sent him out with a bunch of positive COVID tests, didn't play the game. So that one I'm sad about. Bowl season's getting sad. We got, you know, we're big JMU guys, the men's basketball team, missing a couple of games now for some random pauses. So some sadness when it comes to college sports, but overall pretty good holidays.
Yeah, college basketball seems to be getting hit pretty hard with all the cancellations. In a weird way, I feel like this college bowl season's a little more sad than last year. And we don't have to focus on this COVID talk too much, but I just want to say that because last year it was kind of expected that there would be some cancellations and everything. This year it just feels different. Like there was this hope, this expectation, this happiness around bowl season. And now it's just slowly puttering out. And then what, NC State, UCLA cancels 3 hours before kickoff. And that's a bummer. So hopefully the New Year's Six Bowls, you know, they can get off the ground and go through. The Cheez-It Bowl too, I think that's today when we're recording. Between Clemson
and
Iowa State.
Is the Cheez-It Bowl today? The Cheez-It Bowl is a good one.
Yeah, so if you want to sorry about my Slack messages just going off. Maybe I should silence that as the patented ding 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 comes through. Do you want to jump in with the Cheez-It Bowl? I guess people aren't going to really be, never mind, we can't be talking about the Cheez-It Bowl. This comes out on Thursday, so oops,
that's tough. But a decent bowl slate on the Wednesday that people will hopefully enjoy. You got Maryland, Virginia Tech, not all that exciting. Clemson, Iowa State is the Cheez-It Bowl, and then Oregon, Oklahoma could have some scoring in the late game, so not a terrible slate. What is that?
What was that, man?
God damn it. the ESPN, you know how they have like a stupid pop-up thing?
Yeah,
well, it pops up and plays video. So that happened. You know what? That's dead to me. I'm just going to have the Vegas Insider page, folks. But, it's a decent
man.
It's a decent bowl slate today.
All right, so let's dive right into – I guess we can start with the New Year's Six – dive into all of those, preview those, share our picks, break those down, and then we can talk about some other bowl games that we might have our eyes on. I mentioned Tennessee-Purdue. Other bowl games, maybe like the Outback Bowl or the – well, we're actually having a guest on later on in the podcast from Walk Up Walk-Ons. They're an Iowa-centered podcast. We're bringing on Tyler Kluver. He's awesome. He's going to talk a little bit about the Citrus Bowl, give us a behind the scenes, and introduce us to Washed Up Walk-Ons. Because the DRF Sports is going to become their presenting sponsor here in the year 2022. So that's a really exciting kind of collaboration that we have going on with Washed Up Walk-On. So Tyler will come on here in a little bit, talk the Citrus Bowl. So we won't dive too much into Iowa, Kentucky. We'll stick to what we know in the New Year's Six and some of the other bowls. But let's start with the Peach Bowl, Michigan State, Pitt. I was really excited about this bowl game. And then I should preface this. I'm all for players opting out of bowl games. Get your money. Do all that. But I'm really bummed Kenny Pickett isn't playing in this game.
Kind of makes the game a dud a little bit, right?
Yeah, 100%. I don't even know. I don't think Kenneth Walker's playing in it either.
Yeah, so then, I mean, that's the opt-outs are kind of a struggle when you see those. And, yeah, he opted out too. So you got the two players that I think I'd be excited to watch in this game. Neither there. It's flipped the line pretty significantly. I think Pitt was like a 3.5-ish point favorite when it opened, according to what I'm looking at. And now they're about a 3.5 or a 3-point underdog. I don't know. I might lean Michigan State. I don't really know how good Pitt's backup QB situation is, but their defense is like kind of mediocre. Okay.
That's putting it really nicely.
I mean, they've had some games where they played fine defense. It's just like they kind of lean on Kenny Pickett to score a bunch of points and be really good. Where I think Michigan State maybe is a little more complete even without Kenneth Walker. And I think Pickett's probably more important to his team just because of the position he plays.
Yeah, Michigan State at one point was in the college football playoffs. And even without Kenneth Walker, they're still putting up points. And They have a good quarterback. They have good players everywhere on that team. You don't become a college football playoff hopeful with just leaning on your, you know, your Heisman hopeful running back. So Michigan State ranked 11th, 10-2 on the season. They are 3-point favorites. I will say our simulations over at drf.com/sports, they like Pitt, but I will preface, it doesn't fully take into account all the opt-outs. And so without Kenny Pickett, that's a huge blow. And I think Michigan State's the side to be on. I think they kind of run away with this one because I don't mean to be rude to Pitt, but outside of Kenny Pickett, I don't think they're good.
They have some receivers who make plays, but...
Well, they need a quarterback to get it to them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know who their backup is. So that tells you all you need to know.
Moving on from, is that all you want to do on the Peach Bowl? Just a quick, I mean, there's
yes, not really much. I might take consider the under, but I mean, the line has moved a lot too, obviously, with the Pickett news and all that good stuff. You're looking at like 55 or 56. I would consider that at 56 for the under. I think that's a, what is that, 8 touchdowns?
It opened up at 63 with Kenny Pickett, Kenneth Walker, and the mediocre, as you put it, Pitt defense. But yeah, now it's at about 55.5 is where I'm looking at it, around 56. So the edge is on the over, but again, everything is taking into account that Kenneth Walker's playing, that Kenny Pickett's playing. This was a bowl game that I had circled early on in the bowl season when it was announced. And then as opt-outs come, again, go get your money, go protect yourself. You can opt out of bowl games. I do not. I support you 100%. It just does make the Peach Bowl a little bit of a bummer.
Absolutely.
Moving on from Peach Bowl, we have the Fiesta Bowl. I think this is a really exciting game. You have the, I completely forgot his name, the new coach at Notre Dame after Brian Kelly left to go to LSU. The players seem to rally around him. And in the Fiesta Bowl, I kind of like Notre Dame in this one against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that'll be kind of interesting. Marcus Freeman, the former Cincinnati defensive coordinator and then Notre Dame defensive coordinator. So he's a solid coach. I don't know. What's the line on this one? You got Notre Dame by like a point or two?
Notre Dame by two. Oklahoma State plus two. The total's at 45. Our StatFox power line likes Notre Dame at minus three. Our Sims, though, do like Oklahoma State just barely. So maybe you take Oklahoma State plus two. But the thing that with bowl games, and I feel like we talked about it last week, the guys over at the DRF Sports Podcast talk about it every week. Sheldon had Colin Wilson on to preview all the bowl games a few weeks back, and you can check that out, shameless plug, at the DRF Sports Podcast as well. But it's all about like who shows up. You can handicap these games all you want, but it's who comes off the bus, and this sounds so cliche, who's getting off the bus and like wants to play. But I feel like Notre Dame kind of has something to prove, just to kind of shove it to Kelly and get a win for their new coach and start his tenure off. But Oklahoma State was also, what, 1 centimeter away from being a college football playoff team?
I really like them as a team. So I think pure football perspective, I might try to take that money line. But, yeah, I kind of get where you're saying, where Notre Dame might be a little more fired up. They really weren't that deep in the college football playoff talk. They would have needed a lot to go right after losing to Cincinnati. I think Oklahoma State's probably the better team. So I consider that and hope that they get up because Notre Dame's a big name, but I guess we'll find out. I just really like that Oklahoma State defense.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's defense has allowed just 17 points on average this season. Absolutely fantastic. Notre Dame opened up at a 2.5-point favorite. The line on this one just has not moved, but 68% of the money is on Notre Dame. So I kind of like your play there, talking about fading the public. We kind of talk about that every week. We try and not bet with the public because – they're not always the smartest. Oklahoma State might be the move. And I think if you're going to take them at plus two, this might be terrible betting advice. I'd take them the money line.
Yeah, I think I'll just take money line. Because they have to, if it was like three, right, or 3.5, you can get the field goal. Instead, you're only getting a point or two. Might as well take the value. And I do think they can win the game. Could be an interesting game. That's probably one of the more even matchups of the entire bowl season, but especially with some of these like big marquee games.
Yeah. Moving on from the Fiesta Bowl, we're going to the Rose Bowl. Utah beat up on Oregon a few times this season, and every time it may have been, I don't want to say shocking, but I think the second time where they just absolutely beat them down was more shocking than the first time. but they are taking on Ohio State. Am I crazy for kind of liking Utah in this spot?
Maybe. I mean, it's hard for me to get a real feel for like Pac-12 teams because, like, who did you play?
And
like
they played Oregon twice, and we all know Oregon was a world beater. Okay, so if we go by the transitive property, Ohio State lost to Oregon. Oregon lost to Utah twice.
I bet people are doing that. I like the way that they're currently playing. So I would kind of lean with Ohio State, but I think it's got a chance to be a good game. I might even consider the over here. Looks like the lines dropped from when it opened a few points. I don't know if it'll drop any more, but I think it has a chance to be a kind of a higher scoring game. Ohio State plays in those sort of games a lot. Their most recent showing was the beat down loss to Michigan, right? And Utah's most recent showing was blowing out Oregon. Plus you add in that transit property. I kind of like Ohio State in a little bit of a bounce back spot, although it's hard with some of these programs, like an Alabama or a Clemson or those teams. Ohio State, if they're not in the playoff, like how much do they care? I don't know.
Yeah, that's my thing. This is Utah's biggest game in program history. And so they're going to.
Well, that's whoa. The Alex Smith years.
Sorry. This is the biggest game in recent Utah history.
They've been good some years, though. They played Bama in the one major bowl a few years ago. Don't sleep on the Utes.
I'm going to sleep on the Utes a little bit. This is a big – here, let me rephrase it. This is a really big game. They're not normally in a Rose Bowl type of game where Ohio State thought they were going to be in the – well, I guess they didn't really think. They kind of knew after losing to Michigan. But they were playing for their college football playoff lives, essentially. And, like, that was their hope coming into the season. So, you know what? Like – can they get up for the game? I don't know.
Yeah, I think though, I don't know. They're probably the side I lead, but I will say Utah's rushing attack is legit and they played really, really well since the beginning of the season. So I understand why the line has dropped a little bit. I think I might just bet on the pure talent, although I will have to check the COVID status. And then also Ohio State has a bazillion really good receivers.
Yeah.
So I think they do have a couple of opt-outs. Yeah, like Garrett Wilson opted out. I believe he's probably their best receiver. Yeah. So then it gets a little more interesting. I think Chris Olave also kind of opted out. So I think from that perspective, maybe you do start to look at Utah a little bit closer, plus the motivation, plus they've got, you know, I don't think Utah has a giant group of opt-outs. So yeah, maybe some value in the Utes money line.
I like how you flipped completely throughout talking that out. But there is 1, 2, 3, 4 opt-outs for Ohio State. Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, both the receivers you mentioned, Haskell Garrett, the defensive tackle, and Nicholas Petit-Freer, who is an offensive tackle, all opting out. Master Teague most likely will play.
He's good.
So those are all worth mentioning. And I don't believe there's anyone. I'm just looking over the injury report for both teams. I don't think anyone opted out for Utah. So
I'm not going to bet the game is what I've decided because I still think Ohio State.
I love when we do the podcast and there's like you haven't completely thought about your betting angle for the game, and then you jump on one side, go to the other, and then by the end of it, you're like, I think this is a stay away game.
I still think Ohio State, like even with the opt-outs, has just a surplus of talent at like skill positions. And I'm scared of what they're capable of doing. But I also think you look at the motivation and that stuff, I could easily sell myself on Utah. So I'm probably going to stay away. But if anything, I might consider Utah just because of the motivation factor. I think you made a fair point there.
You know what's sticking out in my head, though? The 56-7 beatdown against Michigan State, and like Michigan State's a darn good football team and Utah's like a good football team. And I mean, they're probably not similar. I would say Michigan State's probably better than Utah, and Ohio State did that to them. So
Ohio State's legit.
Yeah.
They're really, really good.
They're really good. Well, they have two weird losses, but I think like pound for pound, they might be one of the top four best teams. They just didn't get up for two games, which makes me worried that are they going to get up for this game? We'll see. I think the smart play would be Ohio State, but I think with everything considered, I kind of like Utah at plus four. I'd take them plus four. That's one I would take the spread over the money line because they might be able to keep it close. And
yeah,
that four spot, the field goal difference, you still win. So
that's fair.
Moving on from the Rose Bowl to the good old-fashioned Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss Baylor. I think this is in the running of not the ones I'm most looking forward to. I think it goes Peach Bowl, this bowl. The next two, Cotton and Orange, I'm really looking forward to, and I might have an upset pick there in one of those two games. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. But Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss, Baylor, what are your feelings on them? I really like Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. I think they take down Arenada and Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're good. Baylor's really good. Like, I don't know how long, like, Dave Aranda decides to actually stay in Baylor. Like, he seems like someone who is eventually going to go up and move somewhere else, although I think you might even be able to say the same about Kiffin if something pops up that he deems better than Ole Miss. So I think both coaches are very, very good. Aranda's obviously a more defensive mind, did a lot of really great stuff at Wisconsin, had some success at LSU, and has kind of just really risen the ranks quickly. So it's a great coaching matchup. They play some really solid defense at Baylor, and he's really turned them around impressively. I think that Ole Miss, I think they're probably a better team. I would lean that way. I think they're really, really talented. Maybe even look at an under here. You can get it like an under 56 or something potentially. Baylor, I think, can keep it maybe a little more low scoring, but I still think Mississippi, Ole Miss can find a way to win the game. So I would lean Ole Miss just because I really like what Lane Kiffin's done there, and they have some really talented offensively. I think their defense is super underrated. They played pretty good defense at times this year.
Yeah, they average only 25 points allowed per game. They only allow 180 yards on the ground. Not the best secondary, allow over 245 yards through the air.
They've gone up against some.
I was going to say, they also played a gauntlet of an SEC schedule. And by gauntlet, I mean, actually, they didn't play that bad of a schedule. They played Alabama, Arkansas. They played Arkansas. Arkansas was a pretty solid team this season. They did lose to Auburn during Auburn's good run because we all know Auburn was so up and down this season. So they lost to Auburn. They only put up 27 against Liberty.
I think the thing that kind of stands out to me is, like, they didn't necessarily play the best teams in the world, but some of those guys, like Malik Willis, can sling it.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, right? You got the Mike Leach air raid offense.
Tennessee,
which has been – Mike Leach has been pretty – I mean, he's at least historically has, like, respectable offenses. And Ole Miss historically has – you've kind of expected, at least under Kiffin, where it's like – they might not play defense, kind of that Arkansas game, 52-51. But it's not always like that. They did a really great job defensively against Louisville in the season opener. Tennessee's offense by mid to end of the season was really, really good. Held them to 26 on the road in that ridiculously weird game, if you recall, with like the throwing stuff at Lane Kiffin on the field.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. They won four in a row. I know they haven't played a world beater schedule, but they're winning kind of more with defense, right? They're scoring like 30 points a game in the last four.
Yeah,
or so really the last like second half of the season, they're still finding ways to win. So I would consider the under in an Ole Miss cover there.
Ole Miss has also covered three of their last four games. One, two, three, four, five of their last seven, I believe. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah, five of their last seven. So good for them there. So yeah, maybe Ole Miss is the play. I will say, I'm always talking about the DRF simulators because they've predicted some big time upsets. They do like Baylor not only to win, but kind of to win in two possessions or more.
That's shocking to me, really.
They like Baylor 35-24 in the simulator. So
interesting. That's a really good team. I think it's got a chance to be close. If any, I would say I prefer maybe the under do the result, but I think I would still lean Ole Miss. It's just like Baylor plays good defense, and people don't necessarily account for the fact that Ole Miss like also plays decent defense compared to what they like think.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think because we all remember the Arkansas 100 and some points combined.
Exactly.
And I think we remember some of last season, like in the big moments, Lane Kiffin's and they would win the games, but it would be just these offensive huge points. And and everything like that. So I like the under there. I think I like Ole Miss, though, to win. Normally I run with these simulators, but I think I'm going to go with my gut on this one. So going from Sugar Bowl, we're heading to the Cotton Bowl. This is Cincinnati, Alabama. Alabama's number one seed in the nation. Cincy's the four seed. They're the first group of five team to ever make the college football playoff. You cashed your future ticket on that. That was a big time moment. I'm proud of you for that. I'm proud of you.
thanks, Dad.
what was I going to say? Do you think Cincy has any chance at keeping this game close?
I do. I kind of like them at the plus 13.5. Like, they're really good. I know they haven't played necessarily anyone, but, like, you look at some of the recent bowl results and you start to think, like, maybe Alabama didn't play as hard a schedule as we thought.
They did.
Like, they've got some good wins on there for sure, and they look unbelievable, and they have a ton of NFL talent. But, like, Cincinnati also has some NFL guys or, like, fringe NFL guys on that roster that could certainly play at P5s. They're really good. I mean, like, the most impressive win for Alabama is obviously Georgia, but you look at like the regular season, they beat Arkansas by 7, they beat Auburn by 2, they beat LSU by 6, lost to A&M. Like, they had a bunch of close games, especially at the end of the season. Even the Florida game early on, they only won by 2. So I'm not saying that Cincinnati's going to win the game, but if you're giving me a team that is probably very amped up for this, that has probably an NFL draft pick at quarterback, both their corners are really good and like NFL kind of guys. Sauce Gardner could go in the first round. D-line's pretty deep. The whole defense is good. They have decent receivers, and they can run the ball pretty well as well. I think it's Jerome Ford, I want to say, is the running back they kind of pound. So, like, they're pretty good, and Alabama has not necessarily been demolishing teams at the end of the season. I know you can look at that Georgia game, but I think they definitely have a
chance. Doesn't have an offense, so.
I think they definitely have a chance to keep it within. I think Ritter is probably better than whatever Stetson Bennett was doing. So I think they can keep it within 13.5. I kind of like that. And I think it'll be fun.
Respect the mailman. All right. You don't have to make fun of Stetson, the mailman.
Who calls him the mailman?
That's his nickname.
For what reason?
I don't know. Cause he gets it. He doesn't perform on Sundays. I don't know.
Well, he's certainly not going to be an NFL guy. What do you think here, though? I don't know. I kind of like Cincy 13.5, and I also hope that happens because we have had, historically, a lot of really crappy, like, college football playoff first round, I guess, semifinal games.
Yeah, we have. I hope it's a good game. I mean, what you said makes sense. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about this game and previewing the college football playoff. I think we are underselling Cincinnati a little bit. And I believe John Mechie's out for Alabama, which is a sneaky, huge blow to them. That really helps the Cincinnati secondary. You don't have to even worry about John Mechie, right? Yeah, he's out for season with a torn ACL. They have a lot of questionable guys across their team. The question will be, can Cincy move the ball against Alabama's defense, right? Will Anderson's really good. They just got dudes across that defense, and they haven't played anyone like Alabama all season. Their closest is probably Notre Dame, and they did win that game. So that's huge. I just think it's going to be really hard. When the line opened, it was at 14. I wish I would have jumped on 14 after hearing what you said. 13.5 worries me a little bit. I know it's just half a point, but I kind of like that 14 because it's two touchdowns.
That's what I'm kind of hoping to bank the other way, where it's, I feel like if you're on the Alabama side, you sell yourself pretty quickly where it's like, oh, I've got like that extra half point where if they win by two touchdowns, it almost feels like a trap, like a little trap that people
a little fishy.
I could easily see Alabama winning by like 10 in a game that like maybe they're up 17 a lot. And then Cincinnati gets like a garbage time something.
Yeah.
Like I'm not taking Cincinnati money line just because they like have not shown me against like these average teams that they can just like make the plays they need to. But I do think they can keep it more competitive than people think.
Especially you brought up the Auburn game, the LSU game. Like, I know those are kind of big get up games for those other teams, but you have to argue, isn't this a get up game for Cincinnati, first group of five team to make the playoff? Like, they're representing a lot of different schools. And Alabama's here almost every single year. I do think Cincinnati keeps it close. I think I'm going to ride plus 13 and a half with you. I mean, I might wait closer to kick and hope so that a lot of late money comes in on Alabama. I hope the public might go in on Alabama. Let's look at the betting angles. I mean, the line for it, 79% of the money is right now on Alabama at minus 13 and a half.
This could be the best bet of the year.
Bold. But I do like your point. Like, it could be a 17-point game all game, and then not even a garbage time touchdown. Maybe with like 6-7 minutes left, there's still a chance for a comeback. They hit a touchdown. Then Alabama gets the ball back and just kind of eats clock. But then what worries me – but then I'm talking to myself in circles here. Then they could drive down the field and kick a field goal, and then it's 13 and you win your bet because it's 13 and a half. I think I like 13 and a half. I've played the game out in my head already.
I think it's an interesting one because Alabama has gotten a lot of push after the Georgia win, obviously, right? So they beat Georgia, and now people are like, oh, they're back. It's Saban. Like, they blow everybody out. But that hadn't really been the case all year. Like, I think a lot of people going into that game, not yourself, and you kind of went back on Saban, which was a good bet for the SEC title game. But I think a decent number of people thought, like, oh, like, it's Georgia's year, which it still might be. Thought that Georgia was going there. Like, prior to that, Alabama, like, three of his last four games they hadn't covered, and the one cover was against New Mexico State, albeit a gigantic line that they did cover. But it's gotten a little rockier as the year has gone on for Alabama in SEC play. So I don't know. I think I really like Cincinnati. I think they can be competitive. I also think that they are probably playing like a little shaky in the middle of the year, where once they got through Notre Dame, they'd already beaten Indiana. There was this idea that like if you win out, you've got a legit shot of actually getting into the thing, like your goal for the whole season. And they kind of tightened up a little bit there in like late October and early November, and then seemed to figure it out with that SMU win. And yeah, I thought the win over East Carolina was actually sneaky impressive, and the win over Houston. Houston looked okay the other day against Auburn at times.
They won. So
they did win the game. They're like a 12-win team or something like that. So I don't know. They won their last three games by 15 points or more against three bowl teams. That seems like it should count for something. I think they're probably going to be pretty loose in terms of like, hey, we have nothing to lose. Nobody thinks we're going to win the game. Although I think the stage at the beginning might make them nervous, like the early stages. But if they can like get through the first quarter in the game, then I think, yeah, they're really good shot to cover that 13 and a half.
Love it. I love that breakdown. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, moving on from the Cotton Bowl. This is my upset pick. Orange Bowl, you got Georgia and Michigan. I like Michigan.
All right, I'll kick it mostly to you because this one I've had a really hard time getting a feel for. So why do you like Michigan?
Maybe I'm just really high on them after everything. I really like Aiden Hutchinson. I think Alabama kind of provided the blueprint where if you can move the offensive line of Georgia – and kind of rattle whoever's back there. I think it's Stetson Bennett.
It seems like they're still going to stick with him as the starter, yeah.
Because was there talk that JT Daniels might get the start? Like,
there's been talk for the last, like, every time Stetson Bennett plays, there is talk that he will be benched. And it's kind of ramped up, yeah, the last couple of weeks.
I just feel like Michigan's a 7.5-point dog here. I love Michigan plus 7.5. I might even sprinkle a little bit on that money line because I think they're a pound for pound. Georgia has a really good defensive line. So if Michigan's offensive line can just kind of hold their own
Is that enough? Is kind of holding your own enough? Because like they bodied Ohio State by like running it down their throat. So if you can't run it down – like, that's where Alabama, they could sling it around a little bit with Bryce Young and just an absurd group of speed receivers. Michigan doesn't necessarily have that same level of talent there. But I also think, like, I don't love Georgia's offense.
That's the thing. I hate Georgia's offense. I have no faith in Bennett. No offense, Bennett.
But I think it's such a hard one to read because could they bounce back from that? Because other than that, they've looked unbelievable this year.
Do you want to hear my take about that SEC championship game?
Yeah.
I don't think Georgia cared that much about it. They were in the college football playoff regardless.
I think it's like the one conference that, like, the conference title game, I don't want to say it means nothing, but like in other conferences, you like enter the year and you're like, if you can win that league, like I'm playing for that conference, and then everything else will take care of itself. And I think they kind of think that way. But at the same time, like Georgia played in a conference title game and it could have lost by 70.
Yeah.
And it they was were still in the playoffs. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they kind of know in the back of their head, they're probably going to meet up with Alabama again in the national championship. And so do you really want to like go all out in that game? I'm not saying like you got to protect your plays because Alabama knows exactly what Kirby Smart's going to run because Kirby Smart is a Nick Saban disciple. But I just don't think Georgia cared too much about the SEC championship game from the point you mentioned. They could have lost by 100 and they were still getting in the college football playoff. So with all that being said, I don't think it's necessarily a bounce back game because I don't think it was a letdown game in the SEC championship. It was also, what, a month ago by the time they played this game? I just kind of like Michigan. Maybe I'm just really sold on the underdog mentality. I like the storyline around Harbaugh, but I do. So maybe don't follow my lead and maybe don't sprinkle the money line, but at +7.5, can Georgia pull away and win by 8, 9, 10? Like, can they win by 2 scores? I don't think so. I think Michigan can keep it close. Maybe it's kind of the same case as the Alabama game. Maybe they're up around 14 late and there's a garbage time Michigan touchdown to cut it to 7 and then you win your bet. Maybe that's how it is. And the game's never really in doubt, but I just don't see Georgia, you know, hanging enough points to pull away. And the total's 45.5. I don't know.
I mean, this one's got a chance to be, I'm just terrified of Georgia, like bouncing back and manhandling Michigan in the trenches. It's one of those, like, again, kind of cliche, but this one really feels like maybe even more so than Cincinnati, Alabama, where it's like, whoever can win up front probably wins the game because they rely so much on just like getting a huge push, which a lot of teams obviously do. But I feel like Alabama with Bryce Young and the way he like moves around, where if they don't get a great push, like the man can make you miss and have something out of nothing. And even with Cincinnati, like Desmond Ridder can do a little bit of that too, where they can find a way to make some things happen in the passing game or whatever. But like Michigan and Georgia just want to like bully the living crap out of you. And they don't necessarily have, well, they don't. Like the Georgia-Cincinnati has an NFL quarterback matchup. I don't think anyone's saying that for – or sorry, Alabama. Yes, Alabama-Cincinnati.
I don't think Stetson Bennett's playing on Sundays.
Georgia-Michigan is not on either side.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, see, that's where it comes down to. Do you have faith – it's really, are you betting on Jordan Davis and the defensive tackle and the interior defensive line of Georgia, or are you betting on I don't even remember the other guy, but Aiden Hutchinson and their other defensive end that reek. So do you prefer edge rush or do you prefer interior, just pure raw power? And that's what you're betting on in this game. I like speed and edge, so that's where I'm going.
It's got a chance to be kind of a really physical matchup. I just have a hard time knowing. Because, like, Michigan, I was like, all right, I kind of like the value against Ohio State. But I wasn't sold going into that game that they were actually better than Ohio State.
Neither was I, but I was on Michigan there.
Yeah, I was like, they're at home, and I think they're, like, going to find a way to get one. And then they kind of smoked them. And then people were like, oh, they also blew out Iowa. And Iowa's like, and I guess you might get into this either before or after this with our Iowa guest. But, I mean, Iowa's like a very average football team. They're like, you should be, if you're a top four team, you should be able to beat Iowa. That shouldn't be a challenging thing. And the way they did it was really impressive to beat Iowa 42-3. Yeah. There's nothing to scoff at. But other than that, they haven't done anything this year. They haven't done anything. They lost to Michigan State. Like, they haven't done anything. Whereas Georgia was unbelievable all regular season. But the last two games or so, or one game really only, it's like that's what's changed it. It's two Michigan games. In one Georgia game have completely changed the perception around the game. I feel like that's what has me frightened. It's like, is that just a weird outlier or is Michigan actually good?
That's a really good point. I will say also 73% of the money is on Michigan +7.5. And now I'm really scared that I have sold soul to Michigan on this podcast now.
I might do a little a Georgia-Cincinnati action because I'm also a little freaked out by the way the number is just over the 7. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you're a Michigan bettor, that feels like a little baby trap, just like the Alabama one did, you know, where it's like just under 14. So if you like Alabama, you're like, oh, they're even being nice to me and giving me the half a point, where it feels like you're getting almost a whole point even the little half a point there, where you, if you can, right, it's so easy to convince yourself Michigan can stay within a touchdown. But what if they lose by 10?
What if they lose by 8?
That would be an 8-point loss would be irritating.
And it's also really weird that the line movement hasn't changed all that much since it opened at 7.5.
They've both been kind of stagnant, haven't they?
I don't know if the sharp bettors really like that line and just, you know, didn't bet it either. Like, maybe it's a really good line, but it's kind of weird to me that it hasn't moved too much. I will say, I think the under, if you're afraid to bet on either Georgia or Michigan at 7.5, I think the under is a good play, because I think kind of what we talked about, there's not an NFL QB on either side. They don't have NFL like high caliber players on offense really for either side, but they have fantastic first round talent on the defensive side. Both teams do. So I think the under might be the best bet in this game.
That's interesting too, because I'm seeing that it opened at 43.5 and it's kind of up around 45.5. So it has gone up a little. I wonder if you could wait until kick, maybe it goes up a little more.
Well, or the
you
can money, just grab it. There's 90% of the public is on the over.
Really? That's interesting. So then maybe the end.
Gathering all of our data from drf.com/sports. So
gotcha.
Using our data, our betting pool that we're going from, this isn't nationally, this isn't pulling from DraftKings, FanDuel in every single market. It's pulling from our markets. But that, I think that's a good representation roughly of everyone. I think statistically speaking, from if I remember anything from my stats class in college, the sample size is representative enough of the larger nation.
Yeah, I'll definitely take a look at some of those other things too, in terms of what the public does, and take a look at that. This could certainly be a game where the total is a more enjoyable play than the side. Cause I don't know. Part of me thinks like, oh, Georgia will bounce back, but it's hard to completely ignore the last two Michigan data points, which are just beating the living crap out of Ohio State and Iowa.
Yeah. It feels like you want to ignore the last data point for Georgia, but you don't want to ignore, you don't want to, because maybe Michigan figured it out. This is a really tough game, and I'm afraid to be on the side of the public, but I think Michigan keeps it within 7.
I can see it. It seems like one that you'd think would be competitive. It's McNamara. I really doubt that quarterback play. Not that I think Georgia has good quarterback play, but I feel like there could be a bunch of stupid quarterback mistakes in this game.
I'm going to go on record. We're being a little wishy-washy on this game. I'm going to go on the record. +7.5 Michigan, under 45.5. Those are the plays.
I like you. I'll be heavier on the other game where I'll take – I'm going to go pretty hard, I think, on Cincinnati 13.5.
They're going to be your – they're your team this season.
But. They're my darling. Yeah, I love them.
So do you want to talk a little tennis? That's the New Year's Six. A lot of great stuff. Bennett wants to talk about Purdue, Tennessee. Hit me why we want to talk about the Music City Bowl. Tennessee's a 6.5-point favorite.
Thursday game.
Purdue, the spoiler makers all season. Can they pull off another one? I didn't even realize Tennessee was good enough to make a B Bowl eligible. That's impressive.
Tennessee's been playing really well. I kind of would consider looking at the over too, and maybe even like
64.5. Wow.
Yeah, maybe even like a Tennessee team over. But I think Tennessee is probably one of the plays that I like. I like them -6. Purdue had its two best players, arguably. I would say their two best players opt out. For NFL draft reasons, they're not necessarily a stocked team in terms of talent. Like Bell, I think it's David Bell, I believe.
It is.
Yeah.
The receiver.
He murdered top 5 teams, and like put that in air quotes because Iowa and Michigan State were like top 3 at the time they played. But he had unbelievable stats against them. He was just torching them. He's one of the opt-outs, another defensive end who's potentially like a top 5 pick, depending on where you look at the mock draft. Those just feel like two huge game-breaking players in a game that probably doesn't have a ton of those like on either side. So to lose two of them feels like a pretty huge deal. The game's in Nashville, so it's a pseudo-home game for Tennessee. They've been playing really well. I think Heupel's going to want to kind of end the year on a positive note, and it just seems like an easy opportunity to kind of beat up on a team that's lost some of its better players. You're expecting a reasonable amount of points, right, with the total right around like 65.5. So if you expect that many points in one of these games and the line's only 6, I think they can definitely cover that. They're 6-0 straight up as a favorite this year. So I would consider, you if you want to take money line, you could. It's not great value, but they're 6-0 straight up as a favorite, 4-2 against the spread, and they've only had two games this year where they were favored by two possessions or fewer. So essentially like a close game, but they were the favorite. Covered both those. They covered against Kentucky by a couple of points. They're like a 1-point favorite. Hendon Hooker had a great game. And then South Carolina, they were 10.5-point favorites. They won by 25. And Hendon Hooker in both those games was phenomenal. He's been really good this year overall, but especially when they're favored. So he's a guy who's coming back next year too. It strikes me as a game that I think they're going to be up for. And I also could easily see, and this isn't a great reason to bet, but I could easily see the narrative after this game being like, whoa, you got to look out for Tennessee next year in the SEC East. Don't count them out. So I think there's going to be like some stupid Tennessee is back rumblings because I think they've got a chance to beat Purdue by 14-20.
It's also worth mentioning the last five games for Tennessee all have gone over the total.
A lot of points.
Tennessee also is 6-2, the over 6-2 when Tennessee's playing, when they play against good passing teams. So a completion percentage roughly better than 58% this season. So not a fantastic defense for Tennessee, but an offense that can kind of hang up points. I will say if we want to sprinkle a little bit on Purdue, I'll be the voice of reason for Purdue over here. Tennessee's 1-8 this season against the spread after they outgained an opponent in the previous game by 125 or more total yards. So they aren't able to put together back-to-back good offensive games and defensive games, like not good performances back-to-back. And Jeff Brohm, the head coach of Purdue, is 17-4 versus good teams. So against teams that outscore their opponent by 10 or more points.
Jeff Brohm's a really good coach. I'll give him that. We'll give them that. But Tennessee's my boys. I love the way they're playing. They've killed it as favorites this year. So they've had some tough games with some tough lines. There's no doubt about it. Some tough losses where they were close, ATS. But I like them. I like them when they're going up against a team that's not actually that good.
Yeah, I also think a little bit in that line. I mean, David Bell, and
I think that helps.
I think that helps a lot.
Especially if you can't cover people.
Exactly, because you know why David Bell had two of his best performances against Iowa and especially Michigan State? Because Michigan State was one of the worst secondaries in the nation.
Couldn't cover anyone. So, yeah, I think that's a huge opt-out for Tennessee, which I still think is going to give up some points in this game.
Yeah, which is why you like the over.
Yeah, I think the over would be interesting. They can still sling the ball around pretty well, but I just they've been close in a bunch of games. I also kind of like that I imagine – they would have more than 50% of the crowd. Given the game being in Tennessee.
This isn't a full neutral site. And this is the last bowl game I want to hit on, mainly because this bowl game seems to just produce big moments. This is the bowl game Jadeveon Clowney made a name for himself. The Outback Bowl, number 22, Arkansas plays Penn State. Arkansas is only a 1.5-point favorite, but it's been a really solid season. I believe this is the first year Is this Sam Pittman's first year?
I think second, because he had them playing decently, and I think he had some upsets last year. So yeah, he was there in 2020.
Okay,
they were 3-7, but he had them like they were better than you would have thought.
And then last year they were kind of Penn State on the other side of the coin. If we want to talk about 2020 trends to cover over into bowl season of 2021, because why not? It's a weird year. Penn State was bad last year. So, right?
Yes, they were terrible.
They were terrible. Want to hear a crazy stat as you try and do some quick research on the Outback Bowl as I just threw this on you last minute?
No, I knew they had a lot of opt-outs. I didn't know how many. But I kind of like Arkansas here because Penn State is like a lot of them, I think, decided. Yeah, they've got at least five starters who aren't playing.
Here's a crazy stat about James Franklin.
Okay, hit me.
He's 1-10 against the spread coming off an upset loss.
It's kind of shocking. Who'd they lose to?
What?
Who'd they lose to last week? Or whenever the season
ended. They lost to Michigan State as a 3.5-point favorite.
They just haven't shown anything that's like, I don't know, they've been uninspiring.
And yeah, they're 7-5 on the season. They had that 3-game losing streak, 3-point loss to Iowa, 2-point loss to Illinois, then and a 9-point loss to Ohio State. Then they kind of beat down Maryland, but then they lose to Michigan. Then they beat Rutgers. Good. Congrats. Everyone does. then they lose to Michigan State, and now they're against Arkansas. I agree with you. I think Arkansas wins this game. The total's at 48.5. I like the under on that, mainly because Penn State doesn't put up a lot of points, and Arkansas isn't consistently going to put up a lot of points. And if Arkansas can just kind of hold them down, I think the under's the play. And I like Arkansas -1.5 here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's where I would lean as well. Just a ton of opt-outs of, like, very good players, including Jahan Dotson, who's terrifying at receiver for Penn State. So, yeah, I like Arkansas a lot. That's a good play.
Thank you. I try. And then that's the Outback Bowl. Any other bowls you want to hit? I mean, it's hard to even talk about bowls, it feels like, right now, other than the big name ones, because it kind of feels – Gator Bowl. Who's in the Gator Bowl?
It's supposed to be Wake Forest, Texas A&M, down here in Jacksonville, where I am currently, flying out later today. But Rutgers is replacing them. Wake Forest is like a 15-point favorite. I'm just hammering Wake Forest. I don't even care. Like, maybe they're not motivated because their opponent now stinks. Rutgers, like, wasn't even practicing. They all had to come back together because the school essentially just wants, like, the $4.5 million payout that they get for participating in the game.
Don't blame them.
And they stink. They're 5-7. They're not good. Wake Forest scores a ton of points. They should win by, like, 30. I don't know if they actually will, but, like, Rutgers doesn't even seem like they're ready to play football. So, yeah, give me Wake Forest, Sam Hartman by, like, 30. I'll take minus 15.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting, Sam Hartman didn't opt out. He's no Kenny Pickett over there.
Yeah, they don't have, like, I don't know if they're – how do their receivers do? Did, like, Roberson opt out?
I haven't heard Wake Forest any opt-outs coming from their camp.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I have no idea what their opt-out situation is, but even then, I don't even care. Like, they're way more talented. It's a great way to, like, put a bow on a good season by claiming they won a bowl, even though they're playing a trash Rutgers team in whatever. But I really like them in that spread. It's, you know, it's a lot of points. But, like, Rutgers stinks, and they weren't even practicing to play football.
And also, like, it's worth noting, like you said, putting a bow on the end of the season. Wake Forest wants to play this game. Wake Forest wanted to play this game. They could have just been like, okay, our guy's out, and we're going to pull out too. But their fans want this. I think their players want this. They don't care who. They just want to finish the best season in program history with a win. And whoever – I feel bad because I think they would have won against whoever they were slated to. A&M. I think they would have given A&M a game and possibly pulled off the upset there. So I'm big on Wake Forest too. I really like that play. I do worry about their defense a little bit, but then again, Rutgers is just so bad that I think the Wake Forest defense might look good. Like, Wake Forest might actually, like, look like they have a competent defense.
That's the fair point. I would also consider looking at, like, Wake Forest first half line. And Wake Forest team total, I think.
I was going to say, do the Wake Forest team total. Yeah, do team total. I think that's the – just put a couple units down on Wake Forest team total. It's probably sitting around like 45. They may score 50.
It can't be – what is it? It's minus 15. Yeah, I guess it is probably pretty high. Minus 15, the over is at like 62. I'm trying to do the math. So if they have what? If they score 40, essentially, something like that, 38. No, that math doesn't make any sense.
I was a journalism major. I now work 30, in betting, which has to do with more math.
It's like I bet it's like 40 to 42 to 28 kind of thing gets you kind of close to that. It's a little high, but that's actually way high. It'd be more like
– keep talking to that. I'll find the real number as you
It'd be more like 38 to 24. Yeah, 38 plus – that's about right. 38, okay. 24, 62, and they're winning by 14. So if you can get a team total around like 38.
Raise the roof for all of the listeners there.
They might hit that in the first half. They might hit that in the first quarter.
Bold. I don't know about first quarter.
They just score a lot and they move pretty quick. So I would look at that. But I love the spread there. I just think Rutgers has no business being in this game.
Yeah. So best bets, we'll hit them real quick and then we'll get up on out of here. No college basketball, mainly because – we'll talk about a game and it'll get canceled tonight before we even publish the podcast. So staying away from college basketball for this week, it's all bowl games. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Tyler Kluver of Washed Up Walk-Ons. Go ahead and give them a follow, subscribe to their podcast. Really exciting stuff coming up this new year between DRF Sports and the Washed Up Walk-Ons. They're all Iowa. They're awesome guys. So go ahead and give them a follow, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. Subscribe to their podcast, wherever you find podcasts. With all that being said, let's jump into some of the best bets. I think you can kind of get a feel of where we're leaning, who we think are the best bets. Bennett, you hit me with your 18 best bets as you normally do.
I'm just going to do three.
Really?
Just three.
Just three?
Just three. Well, maybe a little more.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay, maybe seven.
We'll do Tennessee minus six. We will have Cincinnati minus – no, sorry, minus. Cincinnati
and BYU. Alternate total minus 21.
Cincinnati plus 13.5. And third one, I'll throw in the Wake Forest minus 14.5 is what I'm seeing at DraftKings and Caesars. So I'll say that's about what we can get. I kind of got to shop for that one a little. But I'll say those three, and I'll piggyback on you here, actually, and I'll add an Arkansas money line.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to go Michigan, and I'm going to hate myself for this.
Just Michigan alt spread minus 14.5.
I was thinking minus 24, but you're probably a little smarter there. No, I like Michigan plus 7.5. That's probably going to bite me. The public's loving it, but that number just feels so good. And this is probably Vegas enticing me. And this is I got to do it. Under for that game as well. I think it was at 45.5.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was at 45.5. I love the under on that because both offenses are underwhelming and both defenses. I'd err on the side of elite. And what was Notre Dame? I love Notre Dame.
I think they're about a point or a point and a half, something like that. Point and a half, 2 points.
Two. I love Notre Dame minus two because while Oklahoma State might be the better team, I think Notre Dame's getting up for this game a lot more than Oklahoma State. Oh, like I know I mentioned it when we were previewing that game. Oklahoma State was quite literally a centimeter away from making the college. Like this is not where they want to be. So Notre Dame, on the other hand, this is where they kind of expected to be. They thought they'd be here with Brian Kelly, but instead they're here with Marcus Freeman. And I think they're going to just absolutely want to just pummel Oklahoma State, kind of a middle finger to Brian Kelly and a great way to get the Marcus Freeman era going. I also like UVA over against SMU and that canceled bowl game.
I truly hate you. I was so excited for that game, man. It was going to be no defense at all. Gosh, and they had a bunch of guys who are still going to play in it. They had three – nobody cares, but they had three offensive linemen who were all in the portal and are going to play. They end up going to Michigan, USC, and then one of them, and this is the funniest one of all, is actually transferring to SMU. So there, I saw a bunch of tweets that people were joking if they had played the game, like right after, just he just swapped jerseys. And he's like, I'm taking my talents to
go into the SMU locker room. You go into the winner's locker room at that point, I feel like.
Yeah, so that was disappointing. But, hey, you know, you live and you learn and you hope for the best. I heard some rumors that NC State was actually trying to reschedule that game, but it seemed kind of – I don't know who you would possibly get.
There was the Arizona Bowl, the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. That had that weird reschedule for I think someone's driving 4.5 hours like across the state of Arizona to go play in the El Paso Bowl or something weird like that. This bowl season's weird, man, because last year you didn't have like the trying to find replacements. It was just like, okay, this bowl's
right.
I think that's what makes this bowl season so weird. Like the Gator Bowl last year just would have been canceled. This year's like, we need to find Rutgers to play, a 5-7 Rutgers team. Come on.
That's what also was funny, right? Because there were the rumors that they were going to get a team that already played in a bowl. But then it turns out, which no one would have known this, I don't think, but it's you get the 5-7 team with the best like academic average. So like nerdy old Rutgers over there at 5-7 gets the chance to get its doors blown off by this unique Demon Deacons offense. It's a very weird rewarding system, but good for them, I guess.
I guess the reward's more for the front office, not the front office.
Yeah, it's the
$4.5 million paycheck they're getting out of this.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not the score.
Anything else you want to add? Where can everyone find you, follow your work, and see your Tennessee-Purdue preview?
My various Tennessee goodies. Yeah, it's on TN Bets, and you can find me at Bennett Conlin, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, and last name C-O-N-L-I-N. Find all my stuff there. Pretty much tweet all the links anyway. So you can do that. Find some interesting stories. A colleague of mine had a fun story. This guy was he's a DFS player, got COVID, and he had like an underlying condition. So he was on a ventilator, but he's been like few months back. He ended up recovering. He's still, I guess, kind of recovering through the fall. But then he played in one of these DFS contests and he won like the Christmas NFL, like millionaire maker one. So he just quit his job recently as a high school math teacher to do this full time. Pretty crazy story.
That's awesome. Got to check that one out. And if you want to win real money for free, like that math teacher did, probably can't quit your job because there's not millions of dollars up for grabs, but there's thousands of dollars up for grabs over at DRF Cash Grab. You can download for free at the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, and start predicting and win real money all for free. So thank you for listening to the DRF College Sports Podcast. We ask that you please subscribe, rate, and review the show. And for more sports betting advice, head on over to drf.com/sports. You can follow us on Twitter at @DRF_sports. You can follow us on Instagram at @DRF_sports and on Facebook. Just type in DRF Sports in the search bar and we'll pop up. Thank you guys for listening again. My name is Jack Fitzpatrick. That's Bennett Conlin. Hopefully we make some money this week. See ya.